Father, thank you for the blood that covers a multitude of sins. Amen. Thank you for your word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you for the body of Christ, God, because we know that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Thank you for your Spirit, God, of truth, whom the world cannot receive. God, but He is here to lead us, to guide us, and to direct us. Do that tonight, Lord. Give me ears to hear. Let me speak what you tell me. Let me follow your Spirit. I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you glory. And everybody said,
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, turn to John 19 and 17, and then we'll go over to 1 Corinthians. I like it when you can cheat. And that's pretty good. And you know what? I said it was 17 only, but it is verse 18 too. I'll give you a second to get it and put it up there. I'm excited. I want to tell you the subject matter tonight. I'm going to be talking about spirits. Now, I don't want to do this and just be blunt and nice. Just be blunt. I can't be blunt and nice. You just be blunt and me? Oh, mean. Oh, okay, I can be mean. I mean, if you don't watch sometimes, we want to get so spiritual that everything has a devil. We get some. We get spiritual sometimes. Hold on! Don't talk back yet. You may scramble your own eggs. We get so spiritual sometimes that we want God so bad that everything's got a devil. Everything is this. Everything's that. Flies are talking to us. Cockroaches. Signs in heaven. You know, and everything else. And to be realistic. I wished that God spoke to me like some of y'all think He does. I do. I wish God spoke to me like some of y'all think He speaks to you. I come prepared tonight. A lot of times we don't handle our head. And we fill our head with stuff. Sometimes we try to make it out to be God when it's just our head and just us thinking. When it doesn't line up with the Word, when it's out in never, never land, it's not God. I found some things out about him over the last, let's see, I got saved October 3rd, 1976. The first time that I really recall hearing him was probably somewhere February the 2nd on a rock on Crowder's Mountain right after I smoked a joint. Yeah? On Wednesday night. Didn't go to church, listened to something in my head, but the devil. Told me nobody loved me at church, nobody cared. So I got in the car with my four pothead buddies and we rode down the road and I never smoked a joint. They just had the windows rolled up. You do the math. I'm breathing. They're smoking. We're riding. I'm going, huh. By the time we got out, they handed me the joint and I hit it. That's all I did one time. God spoke to me. I think the first time I ever heard him, it was like he screamed, run. I ran home. I made them take me home that night. The moon was coming up. It was blood red. And somebody go, well, that's a spiritual sign from God. It was the sun reflecting off the moon. But God used it to bring back to my mind the book of Revelation. So I made them right then stop smoking, put me in the car, take me home. I fell down beside my bed. I boo-hooed, I bellered, I snotted, and I prayed through. The next Wednesday night, I didn't go to church. I went with Ricky Head, my pot buddy. What a last name, Head. Went with my pot buddy, and me and him went to my backslid cousin's house. I walked in. He looked at me and laughed at me and said, I knew you couldn't make it. I knew you wouldn't make it. Come on in. And I got there, stepped in, and he turned around and cussed me. And he said, if you're going to hell, you're not going to hell in my house. Get out of my house. And told Ricky, get him out now. I didn't get a real good buzz that Wednesday night, but I went home, fell down beside my bed, boo-hooed, bellered, snotted, and God used a backslider to talk to me. Hold on. Wasn't nothing spiritual about that. This is just a guy that knew. Now, people want to read a lot into sometimes. You with me so far? Hang on. Third Wednesday night. Now, here's where God does speak. I go to church. I smoke some Panama Red. I rolled it, went to the church parking lot, lit it, Pastor Chuck, sat down in my Maverick, smoked half a joint, got up, went in the church, rather large church, had stairs that went upstairs right near the water fountain. So I went, sat on the stairs near the water fountain, and I was listening to my pastor preach on Wednesday night. This is what I was saying. Ready? I can't make it. I quit, God. Three Wednesday nights in a row, I can't do this. I quit. I just stop. This is my last time I will ever come to church. While I'm saying that, on the front row, Dale Breininger is sitting there and God is speaking. Now, this is where God really works. He's speaking to Dale and this is what he's telling him. Troy is out on the steps. Go and get him. Bring him in and I'll deliver him tonight. Dale says to God, this ain't God. Now, I will tell you, the moon wasn't necessarily God. He used it, but it wasn't necessarily Him. It was an act of nature. My backslid cousin, he wasn't of God. I mean, just... But now sitting here, a guy is hearing God. In other words, he's got his head crucified enough that the Spirit of God can truly speak to him. You with me? So Dale looks over at one of our buddies. And by the way, we used to fight for the front row. There were 19 of us, 19 of us who felt like we were called to preach at this church. And we fought for the front row. Y'all wouldn't have had a snowball's chance to have a front row seat. Y'all would have been back five rows. I mean, because we fought. And if we couldn't get them, we would get chairs and line them up against the wall over there. We wanted to be near the action. So Dale comes out, goes over to the water fountain. He's drinking water from the water fountain. Turns around and goes, oh my God. Scares me and scares him. He said, you are here. Come on, let's pray. I said, I'm not praying. I quit. I can't do it. Three Wednesday nights in a row, I've got stoned. I just come for my last time. This is the last time I ever be at church. I'm not doing it. He said, no, come on, pray. I said, I told you, I'm not doing it. He said, then quit then. Go on and get out of here and quit if you're quitting. A lot of people would have jumped on that. I said to him, I will leave when I get ready. You can't make me. I went in that night while my pastor was praying, fell on an old-fashioned altar, and these are the words I prayed. God, you saved me to make it, and I'm not doing too good of a job. So if you don't help me tonight, I'll never make it out of this. You got to help me. From February the 16th, which is my birthday, of 1977 to this second, I've never smoked another joint. That's how active God works. When it's the Spirit of the Lord. When it's the real deal. So tonight, I don't want to try to manipulate nothing. If it's not God, best keep our mouth shut. How's that? Because I believe if God's wanting to do any one thing in our life is to handle our head. If the church ever needed its head adjusted, it needs it adjusted now. I didn't come to preach about the rapture. I didn't come to talk about post-trib, mid-trib. Didn't come to do that. That's your pastor's job. I'll let him define the Word of God. I'm concerned about the church, though. With its, ready? Pie in the sky, hope I leave, bye-bye, and forgetting about a world that's going to hell. I will just throw this out in 60 seconds and let your head start cooking. 1 Corinthians said the last trump will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise and we which are alive. Something to think about. Now with that said, we're going to crucify Jesus tonight. John, carrying his own cross, he went out to what is called the skull place. Let me read the King James version of it. What translation you got for me? That's good. Let me read it out of the King James. And they took Jesus and went out bearing his own cross to the place from which they called the skull, which in the Hebrew is called Golgotha. Where did they take him? Not the Hebrew name, but the other name. Where? Where? The skull. The what? What's in the skull? What? Thank you. The brain. Where are they going to crucify Jesus at? At the skull. Who said that? At the head. Handling the issue of the head first. You never thought about that, have you? You never thought that they would take our Lord to the head and have Him crucified at the head. The skull. Golgotha. And they crucified Him there with two other men, one on either side between Jesus. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 3, reading down to verse 6. I generally read either three translations, God Word translation, the King James translation, or the NLT. And I'm going to read the King James tonight because I just like it better. I just like the way the King James Word. Here's what it says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and the casting down of imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. bringing into captivity to the obedience of Christ, having in a readiness, verse 6. I think 6 is very important. If you were a police officer, you would understand this term really well. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, when you are full of obedience, you can handle any disobedience that comes to your skull. Did you get it? When you're willing to line up with God's Word, you have to understand why I read the first one. Jesus was willing to line up with the Father's will for His life. Now, I need to say this on the onset of this. Until you or I get in the place that we are willing to line up with God's Word for our life, then we are going to be under constant attack and constant failure. Didn't get it. Let me say it again. Until you and I are willing to line up with the Word, I like authors. I'm reading, he's dead, Miles Monroe. Reading something Miles Monroe wrote before he died. Really good stuff. I've read good stuff from other men that have recently gone crazy. starting a new religion called Chrislam. I don't mind mentioning his name. I don't mention names, but his name is Rick Warren. Yeah? Wrote a real good book a couple of years ago. Matter of fact, voted in Charisma Magazine 2013 as Pastor of the Year. But now he's wrote a new book or preaching a new gospel of Chrislam, where you don't have to deny Allah, that you can have Allah and Jesus. Yeah, I just thought I would tell you, you see, when you don't, you say, Pastor, I don't like you. You mentioned somebody's name. I'm sorry. I didn't ask you to like me the first night I was here. I am to do what God wants me to do, and that's to warn the flock, do what He does, guard the flock, speak over the flock, and help us with our head. Hold on a second. We are sheep. We are gullible. One thing that Jesus kept saying over and over, I can't do anything unless my Father shows it to me, speaks it to me, reveals it to me. Until we're willing to line up in obedience with God's Word, we will never handle the issues of our head. Did you hear me say the first night that I was here that I had a lust problem? The only way that I handle my lust problem is that I handle the issues of my head, not through what I read from someone else, is that I stand on the foundation of the Word of God, which is tried and true, that tells me that if I set my mind on these things and I keep my mind on these things, He will keep me in perfect peace. It is when I stop thinking on the things that are perfect peace is when I get in trouble. That's when I spin when I ought not spin. That's when I open my mouth when I ought not open my mouth. That's when I look when I shouldn't have looked. That's when I talk when I shouldn't have kept. I should have kept my big mouth shut. Because the only reason Jesus ever went to the skull was He said, I must be about my Father's business. He said it at 12 years old. He kicked it in gear at 12 years old. Now some of us have got a late start in life to try to rearrange our thinking. Hello? Some of us have late starts in our lives trying to rearrange our thinking. Our stinking thinking. Our religious thinking. Sometimes it has nothing to do with God. It's just what Mama said. Back south, there is something that was taught to me when I first got saved. It's better to waste your seed in the belly of a whore than on the ground. Remember? Oh, you've heard that too, Pastor. That's right. You're from Georgia, aren't you? You're a redneck too. You hear me? Somebody, when I first got... You say, what? You don't know what they... They called that the Bible Belt back there? They a bunch of crazy people back there. Huh? Well, trust me, I'm from there. I know. That's one of the things that somebody taught me. Now, brother, yeah. So I decided I'd listen to him for a while, and I'd go, oh, my God, I can't. So I decided I'd get my Bible. Hang out with me. And I would start reading. So I got me a concordance before all the electronic age got here. And I go, wasn't there. My God, where is it? Wasn't there. I looked up every word, that seed. I looked up whore. I looked up everything else. And I never found it. And come, guess what? It ain't there. You say, now what does that have to do with now? Because if you don't guard your mind and you don't stay in the Word of God, you can easily get deceived. By seducing spirits. Not only, ready for this? Not only seducing spirits, but doctrines of devils. Which in the last days, they'll flourish. Thank you, Pastor. Guess what? And men will be led to them. The Bible said, I would that you prosper even as your soul prospers. But it said also that in the last day, some would say that great gain is godliness. But great gain is not necessarily godliness. Great gain can be wickedness under the guise of gospel. Move. You say what? You got to remember where Satan's domain is. Satan works in a region of darkness. Now, when I say darkness, I don't mean the absence of light like that. I mean the absence of God light. Remember where Satan was cast down from? Heaven. Remember where he stood. In the presence of God, remember what he looked like. If you don't know what Satan looked like, he looked like, his body was encrusted with jewels. He had windpipes or tabrets. The Bible calls them tabrets, King James does, where he was the most musical creature in the presence of God. So, in other words, when he walked into the presence of God, all of God's glory shone off of him, and you had like a, rainbow, or it had to have been awesome. So Satan's realm now is not God light, it's dark light. Hear me for a second. You say, what do you mean dark light? Well, Jesus come along and said, don't let the light in you be darkness. In other words, he said there was a light that was a dark light. Huh? He did say that, didn't he? How great is that darkness? Or how overwhelming that darkness could be? Or how deceiving that darkness could be? How powerful it could be? Let me give you another. You say, what are you doing? I feel like I need to stand here and obey the Spirit of God. I got notes up there. I'll go back to them here in a few minutes. But here's what I need to do. The Bible tells us that if the days were not shortened, even the very elect would be deceived. Mark the 13th chapter. Age of deception. And the greatest... ready for this one? The greatest deception is self-deception. Because if the devil can get me to deceive myself, to think that I'm okay, that is the worst of darkness. Because nobody can show me a light. I already know, thank you very much, I walk in the Spirit. Oh, oh my God. Oh, I walk in the Spirit. You know what? I'd just soon lie to you. Oh, no, I wouldn't. I walk in the Spirit. How you doing? Because the greatest deception is self-deception. When you think you're something, it says, take heed to yourself. It tells you, watch out for yourself. Don't watch out for the devil. Don't watch out for another brother. Watch out for yourself. Now, let me say this. There has to be a rooting. There has to be a grounding. There has to be a stability. Lord, are you sure you want me to give that illustration? That's pretty, yeah. There's a man in the book of Numbers who has a concubine. Now, if you don't know where concubines come from, they come from a false religion. And the Jewish men had bought into this false religion. They thought it was okay. David thought it was okay. Solomon thought it was okay. A lot of men through the Word of God thought it was okay. But it was an atheistic doctrine that had entered into the Jewish custom. So he has a concubine, and she runs away, and he goes to fetch her at her father's house. When he gets there, the father-in-law gets him drunk. He wakes up about noon the next day. The father-in-law tells him the journey's too far. Stay another night. He gets him drunk again. This goes on for several days. After a while, the man says, I've had enough of this. He leaves at the wrong time of the day. Now, let me tell you how twisted things can get. Things can get so mentally twisted that you think you're doing the right thing. Now, I'm not talking about a sinning. I'm not talking about, how do I want to put this? I'm not talking about an uncircumcised nation. I'm talking about a nation that is supposed to be fearing God. Ready? So he takes off on a journey. He winds up in a city. He sits down at the well, just like you should in customs of that day. In the customs of that day, someone would come by and see you at the well and say, would you like to go to my house, and invite you in, and you could stay there and they would feed you. But dusk came and nobody had invited him and his concubine and his servant in. An old man was coming in one day that evening and found them, brings them in. This is what he said, let's make haste to my house. So they go in, and after they've eaten, there is a knock. Now, hold on a second. These are Hebrews, God's people. Say God's people. These are God's people. There's a knock at the door. When the door is opened by the man that owns the house, they say this, give us the man that we may do with him what we want. Now these are Jews. This is one of the tribes of Israel. These are people who know the covenant, who know the Torah, who know the Word. Ready? They have fallen into such a demoralizing situation. That they have accepted a sodomite mindset. I have to watch where I'm going, don't I? No, I don't. I am tired of hearing about Mr. Jenner. I am tired of hearing about the Kardashians. I am tired of it being crammed down my throat. And recently I had a believer from a church tell me something like this. You're homophobic. I said, no, sir. One of my best friends was a homosexual. He died. I did his funeral. We laughed and we cried at his funeral. I loved him to death. I mean, I loved his soul. He was my brother. He was my friend. He was my brother in the flesh, that is. And I loved him. I didn't mind anybody seeing him with me or me with him. I shook his hand. I'd hug his neck. And I promise you, there ain't one inch of me gay. But I'm not a homophobe. But of recently, I've heard the church say to me that I ought to keep my mouth shut. So I'll use a biblical story tonight about how demoralized a nation can get who say that they love God, and how demoralized the church can get. I'm going to mention some stuff. Y'all hang out for a second. Don't be a hater yet. I used to watch a television show called Scandal. Until one night God said, why are you setting something evil in front of you and delighting in it? If you want to know why you're having a problem with your head, here is one of them. Shut it down. Wife came to me the next morning, hadn't talked to her. She said, you know what? We cannot have that in our house. I said, amen. We're not having it in our house. So you hang out a second. I like shooting. I like bang bang shoot 'em up movies. I have to watch anymore what I let go into me. Because if I don't, I want to kill people. I want to hate people. I want to hate a woman that wears a burqa. Just because she wears a burqa. And if you don't know what a burqa is, that's a turban where they wear a little thing over their face. You see them? You understand? And if I don't watch what I put in me, I wind up with bitterness in my heart. I figured I would deal with the skull here for a few minutes. Because I want to get legalistic. I want to be judgmental. I want to become self-righteous. We have an influx in my county of Hispanic people. I made a statement in my church the other week, and there are a lot of them that are illegal. I made a statement in my church the other week that upset a few of my people. I didn't care. I told them if I was a person that lived on the other side of the border, I would swim a shark-infested, barracuda-infested, piranha-infested Rio River to get over here to get what you've got.